has its good points. Wait, I didn't hear that. You need to fix yourself.
What do you think?
I like where this story's heading.
I like it too. So far.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the What's Odyssey podcast, where we blur the line between the Odyssey and the world. I'm your host, Joshua Mentzelwood, and boy, am I glad to be back with you. If you are a longtime Adventures in Odyssey fan, like myself, it can be hard to remember what the show's like for first-time listeners. I mean, the show's in a category of its own. It can be difficult to explain this weird hybrid between TV show and audiobook, especially when that show's run concurrently for several years and has multiple layers to it. See episode 5. With this in mind, for this episode, I gathered a group of people, some of whom have heard of this podcast, but most of whom have never listened to Odyssey once, to give their review of their first episode. First, I had to think of a good one to listen to. One that would give a general blend of old and new Odyssey, and shine a good light on its complexity. I also wanted one of the ones that are on the more lighthearted side, since there are some darker Blackguard and Novacom episodes I could have used, but abstained from. I decided to settle on Connie the Counselor. I looked to Instagram during the season break, and while I got some good recommendations from current Odyssey fans, I decided to use this one to show and expose people who wouldn't have otherwise listened to the show. It's a good episode, and happens right between the crossroads between two eras, which means it shows the truly complex nature of the show. It happens in the aftermath of the complicated Green Ring slash ties that bind arc. It also portrays a long relationship between Connie and Eugene, which helps this show's classic element. Even then, it maintains its genericness, and only has 5 characters and a rather basic plotline, which is helpful to not throw new listeners for a loop. Now, let's get into the people I talked to. I managed to talk to 5 people, not all at once, mind you, who gave their initial reactions to the show. 2 of them ended up going through just about the entire thing. First, we have Alex and Brian.
Okay, so, neither of you have listened to Odyssey, correct?
I've heard two episodes of yours, not the original one.
Okay, yeah. So this is completely new territory.
Okay.
Then.
And for the bulk of this episode, Natalie and Will. You also hear some of Roman, but he doesn't show up too much.
Yeah, you've heard of Odyssey before, right? Like, in your past. Like, you mentioned to me once that you've listened to it as, like, a child.
Yes.
Yeah.
I also watched some of the animated series.
Oh, nice. Good. That's how I got introduced as well. So, we're going to listen to this episode here. It's like a psychology episode, which is right up your alley, I guess, as an AP Psych student, right?
Awesome. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, perfect. Have you listened to the podcast yet?
Okay. I've heard your theme song.
Actually, I listened to the first episode.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I went to focus on the family a lot as a child,
okay.
And I know that there was Adventures in Odyssey characters there,
mm-hmm.
but I never actually read Adventures in Odyssey.
I listened to Adventures in Odyssey a lot as a kid because my mom would play it for us on the way to school. So, it was pretty...
It's a long drive. It's like a 20-minute drive. Okay, so...
Actually, it was 30 minutes at the time, so...
Oh, okay. So, yeah. This episode is 25 minutes, and it's called Connie the Counselor. It came out in 2017, so,
So probably
it's fairly recent.
Yeah. Okay. One time, my cousin said she wanted to voice act for Adventures in Odyssey.
So did I.
She is now pregnant out of wedlock.
Oh. Okay, I will include that in the episode. So you just outed your cousin on public.
You'll notice I put the guests in order of least to most knowledgeable about Odyssey. Will ended up being quite useful in explaining things to Natalie.
Now, if you listen to the 5th episode of the What's Odyssey podcast, one of the main characters is called Connie. She's talking to Eugene, the other main character in this episode.
All right.
And they've both taken on their own, like, they're like the guardian role, kind of, because they both, like, they have to watch teenagers now.
Mm-hmm.
So this episode kind of talks about that. They've just, like, those two teenagers, they both come back into town and into their lives. So, yeah.
Came out in 2017. This episode was actually part of a promotion for an audition for Adventures in Odyssey, where millions of people, little kids across the country, could audition.
Huh?
The winner was Grayson Smith,
huh?
And he got featured on a version of the episode in this album called Let's Put On a Show.
Okay.
So, the album is called Let's Put On a Show. The episode was called Legacy. So he got to go on a cruise for a Disney cruise with Adventures in Odyssey and all that. It was really fun. Okay.
Let me try to recap what I know about Adventures in Odyssey.
Yeah.
Connie works at Wit's End.
Yes.
Right? And she does that little segment called Candid Conversations with Connie.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay. I'm good.
You are good.
There's a guy at my work that literally looks exactly like Wit in Adventures. Sorry. Okay. That's all I know. Okay. Wait, Eugene also works at Wits End.
Yes, he does.
He does little inventions. Mm-hmm. He had that whole identity crisis one episode.
Which one?
I just remember there was an episode where he locked himself in the house.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Okay, perfect. So,
what do you know about?
You have a ton of background. Okay.
What do you know?
Zero.
Okay, so.
Zero.
So by this point, Connie is still working at Wits End. Eugene, he works at Wits End some of the time, but he also works at a college.
Okay.
Campbell College, Campbell County Community College. So this is probably going to be my breakdown of the episode, because for the others, I didn't give as much as in depth of a breakdown, you know. But
okay.
So Connie is taking on Jules Kendall, her half sister.
She's taking on.
Yeah, like as a
dependent
guardian.
Yeah. Dependent. So she's kind of her guardian now.
Oh, okay.
So she.
How
Jules,
old is Connie?
Connie is. Hold on. She's like
23.
Yeah.
She's in her 20s and she's taking on the dependent and she works at an ice cream shop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Eugene has. Yeah. He has adopted. He hasn't adopted. He's taken him on, he's adopted him from the state. And this is Buck Oliver.
Okay.
He's soon to be Buck Melson.
Buck Oliver.
Oliver.
Yep, he talks exactly like that. So.
Knew it.
I think you have the background now. In this episode, Jules has just come back into town, so that's kind of that. And then Buck, he used to be a criminal dude, so he's changing his ways, kind of.
Wits End is an ice cream shop, Natalie.
Yeah, it's a pretty dramatic ice cream
shop. Okay, I thought it was a bookstore.
So. Okay, so I'm going to play the episode now.
Good context.
And I'm going to listen to the whole thing. I'm very confident.
So I'll step out of your way now and let you listen to these people who are, for the better part, complete strangers to this show. Try and break down and review their first Adventures in Odyssey episode.
That's awesome. Let's get started.
All right.
All right. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Bam.
And now, Adventures in Odyssey.
But Dad, no, I don't mind. I just thought you might want her to come back to California.
This is Connie's dad.
Okay.
She says so.
That is on the phone.
Do you want to talk to Jules? She's
Connie
right
and Jules'
here.
Dad. They have the same dad, but different moms.
Right. Okay.
Their dad's like a...
Bye.
Not a good guy.
Dad sends his love.
Mm-hmm.
He was late for a meeting.
Right.
This
so
is Jules.
It sounds like he's okay with me staying here for a while.
Yeah, and apparently your mom is visiting Paris with a friend, so she's fine with it too.
That was easy.
Tell me what happened.
I told Dad I was visiting Mom and told Mom I was visiting Dad. They're not on speaking terms right now, so neither call the other to check. Then I took the bus here.
But why did you leave?
I'm tired of California.
I personally do not like California.
Okay.
Odyssey? You don't even like it here. Or at least that's what you said the last time you came.
It's not like I have other options. Can I stay?
Of course you can stay. For a while, anyway.
A couple of months, give or take. You have the room now that Penny moved out.
Yeah. I am gonna miss having someone around. You know, if you stay, there's gonna be rules for you to follow. This won't be a vacation like last time.
Fine.
Which means a 9 p.m. curfew.
How about 11?
9 on school nights.
I have to go to school?
Of course you have to go to school. You're 15 years old. We'll get
How
you registered in the morning before Jules I head to my own classes.
I'll
be ready. 15? They just said it.
In this episode, she's 15.
How old is Connie? We went over this.
20 is, yeah. Okay, so what do you think so far?
I think I like the plot development so far. I think that she seems strict, but not really. She's like strict for a reason, because you know how teenagers be a little bit rebellious.
Yep.
So I think she has some standards and rules set out, and I don't think they're bad so far.
Okay, yeah. Nice. Alrighty. Yeah, she started on the show as a teenager.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right. Next scene.
All right.
Morning!
Greetings, Miss Kendall.
Eugene, I have a favor to ask you.
Which would be?
One of the requirements for introduction to counseling is that I practice therapy on a friend for 5 sessions.
No.
And please, talk to each other about our problems all the time.
I don't think that should be a requirement.
This is bad advice.
Ms. Kendall, the last thing I need is for you.
I am actually an AP Psych, and it is against the American Psychology Association to practice therapy on anybody that is not certified as a therapist.
Oh. Yeah.
This is Jules, right?
Quite illegal.
This is Connie.
I can tell something's bothering you.
Oh my goodness, Connie.
Just by the way you're stirring your cup of coffee.
That's absurd. How could the way I stir my coffee communicate any degree of turmoil?
Because you haven't poured any coffee in your cup.
Because...
Look, here's some coffee.
Bro doesn't have coffee.
All
man, this guy's tweaking.
Stir away and tell me what's bothering you.
I suppose I am a bit distracted.
All right, so this is Eugene Meltzner. He's the secondary main character. If you listen to the fifth episode, you know.
However, I want him to be able to, in the parlance of your future profession, open up to me. Unless he avoids it.
Buck is like Eugene's ward. Like he's his son. He's his adopted son.
You're not exactly the easiest person to open up to, you know.
Well, why would you say that?
You're afraid.
Of what?
Of feelings.
Oh, on the contrary, I'm quite comfortable with feelings.
You're comfortable with thoughts. Rational, reasonable, flowchartable thoughts.
Well, thank you. But I am also quite capable of empathizing with the emotions of others.
Really?
Really.
Eugene, the last time I cried, you explained to me the anatomy of tear ducts.
And that wasn't helpful?
You'd rather poke your eye out than comfort me when I'm sad.
That's a gross exaggeration on two levels. Although I reluctantly concede I may at times lack the innate skill of comforting someone in need.
How about this? Let me practice my counseling on you, and we'll only focus on how you can best connect with Buck. Deal?
You won't incessantly bring up my so-called inferiority complex and compensating vocabulary?
Nope, not once. Please, Eugene, help me out. For the sake of my education, you're the one who's always encouraging me to take it more seriously.
Well, it's against my better judgment.
As is that shirt and vest combo.
But I suppose in the name of education, I must acquiesce.
I can be your counselor?
5 sessions, pertaining only to my relationship with Buck.
Fantastic!
I believe it was interesting seeing the complete opposite takes these two pairs had on the show after these scenes. But you can hear that for yourself. Carry on.
So, what do you think of the scene so far? Or the scenes, I guess.
Okay, little disclaimer, you should probably not practice therapy on anybody.
Okay.
You should not practice therapy until you are a certified therapist.
Mm-hmm. I'd
like to throw that out there.
Okay, that's the end of the scene.
Alright, yep. Okay, so, we're on the next scene now. Now what do you think?
I think Eugene is insecure about a lot of things, it sounds like.
It might be.
And he definitely needs some persuasion. To be, what was it? He has to be a tutor, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he definitely needs some persuasion to be that. What do you think?
I like where this story's heading.
I like it too so far.
Nice. Yeah. It is one of my favorite episodes of this. It was only 6 episodes, but yeah, it's one of my favorites. Okay, now this Eugene, he's the other main character. We talked about him a little bit in our last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, him and Connie have always kind of bickered. Now in our upcoming scene, you'll hear.
Oh, I got it. So they're pretty close.
Yeah. They're close friends. I mean, Eugene has a wife now and all that, but yeah. But, yeah. So, yep, that's Eugene. We haven't heard from Wit yet. I don't believe he makes an appearance in this episode.
I haven't heard him so far.
Yeah, but yeah, that's the episode so far. Okay, so.
All right, pretty good. Make it happen.
Jules! Wow! What are you doing here?
Life brought me now back we have Buck here, and Jules. I guess.
Okay, how old is Buck?
No.
Buck is...
I kick myself out. Although I wish there was a better place
15 or 16.
To go than this boring town.
Oh, he's not...
In this episode.
He's not using his genetic song.
No.
With what? A bale of straw and an ice cream machine?
Trust me. Small town laugh has its good points.
Okay, now these two do like each other.
When
so.
I was younger,
has
I was
its good points. Wait, I didn't hear that.
Cousin, they do like each other. Cousin.
And anyway, ew.
He and I would climb the water tower and set off fireworks.
Wow. You get in trouble?
Set off fireworks.
Set Miss Bankston's rhubarb patch on fire. We used to do crazy stuff all the
rhubarb.
Time.
Rhubarb. I don't think anybody grows rhubarb nowadays.
No.
Who grows strawberry rhubarb pie?
No.
Shopping, movies.
I don't know. So you haven't lived until you've tried goat painting.
Goat
whatever. You're not turning into one of those happy do-gooders, are you?
What?
The happy do-gooders that are all over Odyssey. They do good things, but they're no fun. Fun-havers and do-gooders are very different. Do-gooders.
I don't know. I like the people here. They seem fun enough to me.
Sounds like you might be coming down with a case of do-gooderism.
Oh, Jules.
Oh my goodness, she is so judgmental.
I agree. I think I want to be a do-gooder.
Oh, yeah. Give your thoughts.
I do not like her. If you're being judgmental about happy do-gooders, you need to fix yourself.
Yeah, so middle school of you.
So middle school.
Embarrassing.
Embarrassing. Wait.
So, how was school?
I've only been going a week, and there's a huge exam in history on things I've never learned. So, great.
Well, I guess that's the problem with changing schools in the middle of the year. Let me talk to your teachers. I'll see if you can at least get an extension.
Really?
Oh my goodness, she is so whiny.
It's not like you're not studying, right?
Only all the time.
And it just seems fair. You shouldn't be tested on material you haven't been taught.
Personally, if you're in high school, Thanks. Then you need to talk to the teachers yourself. Come on, Jules, be better.
My schoolwork before. It's actually kind of nice.
Well, good. Oh, by
the you're
way,
actually being nice to me. That's crazy.
I put them in your
Imagine
room.
Being Thanks. Nice to somebody. I need Jules, to you should try it sometime.
Socks, sweaters. It's cold here.
Yeah. Don't you have some at home that Dad could ship to you?
Please.
Jules is going Dad Amazon
just
happy.
Buy new ones. Shipping them would be inconvenient for him. And I'm already a lot of inconvenience. He reminds me of that all the time.
Well, what are you up to tonight?
Studying, of course.
Why don't you take a break first? My favorite TV show is coming on in a few minutes.
Are you sure? I mean, school and all.
You can do it later.
Sounds like somebody should go to finance class.
Yeah.
You can't just buy new things all the time, folks.
Okay.
Sounds like
enough.
Jules needs to go to therapy. She has some... undercovered trauma.
Oh, yes.
Cut this part out, too.
No, actually, Jules talked about her therapy in The Ties That Bind, but she mentioned that when she went to therapy, her mom only talked about herself, and she didn't talk at all, so...
Maybe she should not go to therapy with her mom, then. It's not how therapy should be.
But, you know...
Okay, well,
this is the dynamic character.
Okay. Here are my thoughts so far.
Okay.
Buck, he's pretty cool, except... he's just a little bit annoying. Jules... many much annoying. She needs to fix herself.
Okay.
I mean, you need to grow up and learn that you need to be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, that is my opinion. Poor Connie is literally like 23 and she's taking care of some child. And works
at
an ice cream shop.
Yeah, at this point, Connie needs to put some work into her life, okay? She's going nowhere right now, okay?
She's trying to become a therapist, Natalie. Give her some leeway.
Oh, I did not know
she's
about that.
She's in school right now.
I thought she just decided
to therapy class.
I didn't know that she was in class.
She's not, like, in class.
I mean, she goes to college.
So she works on ice cream shop.
Never mind.
She
good,
goes to college.
Good for Connie.
And now
Connie's
she's taking
good.
Care of a 15-year-old kid. Guys, we needed to help Connie out here. This is not okay.
Actually, this is real. Why doesn't... Josh, why did you not take Jules in?
Oh, goodness, Josh.
Oh, okay.
Shame upon you.
Okay.
Shame upon you.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Now, Alex and Brian didn't get to finish out the episode during our recording session, but they have this to say.
Yeah, so, what did you think?
I think it was pretty good, actually, to be honest. I think, like I said, Eugene feels insecure about, I don't know, what it is exactly. He doesn't seem to be too open to emotions, maybe because other people in his environment aren't really like there to, you know, talk to him about whatever's happening in his life besides Jules, obviously.
Yeah.
But he's obviously insecure about something, I think. I can tell they bicker a lot. He's pretty reluctant to stuff and she's trying to persuade him.
Mm-hmm.
I think Connie seemed pretty chill.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You could say she's like, what she was doing is not good, helping out her sister. She's like, let's go watch a show or whatever. Mm-hmm. But no, I think she seems pretty chill. I think she just wants to spend like some quality time with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
What other characters? Buck. Which one was Buck? He was
Yeah, he was the redneck one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's crazy. I think he's a bad influence, but she's not like... what do you call it? Like, it doesn't rub off on her, you know? It doesn't rub off on Jules. Mm-hmm. She's not really affected by it, and she's trying to, like, change him for the better somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's every character, right?
Yeah. Okay, so this is Eugene and Connie's counseling session.
Okay, ready. Oh.
All right. Simply relax.
We're meditating right now.
Take some deep breaths.
There you go. And sign the waiver in front of you.
Huh?
Nope.
We're just going to have a comfortable conversation.
Don't sign the waiver, Eugene. Don't sign it. Wait a minute. That's not a good sign.
Well, you're my first client, Eugene.
Huh.
So, we've decided your presenting problem is that you're unable to get Buck to open up to you.
Indeed.
Hmm. Relationships are a series of steps.
Steps.
And you can only take the step that's in front of you.
But it seems as though I'm slipping backward instead of moving forward.
And with every slip backward comes the opportunity to step on the escalator of communication and move forward again.
Are you also taking a class on useless analogies?
Okay, look. Maybe you should just try to help Buck feel comfortable sharing his daily life with you. Once he starts feeling safe discussing the everyday things, he'll open up to you about bigger things.
How long has he had Buck?
At this point, it's probably about 7 or 8 months.
Okay, well, Buck is literally a 16-year-old kid, and he's had him for only 8 months. You can't expect him to have a father-son relationship at that point,
True. Personally.
I think he should be striving more for a, like...
Mentor
relationship.
True.
I think he's just going in the wrong lane.
Yeah.
Eugene, you're not a father yet. You need to start.
I agree.
Yeah. You need to take some time.
Okay.
You sure. Need.
Wait, let me finish the scene, and then you can give your psychological takes, because I think I like where this episode is leading into now.
But I often ask him how his day progressed, and all I get in response is, "Fine, how was your day?"
Sounds like his day was fine then.
Dig deeper. You need to speak his language. Your intelligence might create an emotional wall that makes you feel safe, but at the same time keeps
Note to self, intelligence is bad.
You're looking this up in your textbook again, aren't you?
I'm new to this, okay? Look, ask him about his feelings, but have him associate colors or animals with them.
To what end?
Buck may not be aware of his own feelings, so it would help to start with things he's familiar with.
Such as colors and animals. Doesn't that seem rather elementary for someone of Buck's age?
According to a study done by Feinberg and McElhaney, we overestimate the maturity of youths with troubled pasts. And this technique can work wonders.
Feinberg and McElhaney, eh? Well, I suppose there's no harm in attempting the concept.
Good. Let's talk about some of the questions you could ask.
I'm home! And most pleasant greetings on your arrival.
Oh, hi, Eugene. Where's Miss Katrina?
Oh, she's out running errands, which is providential, as it gives us some time to chat.
Oh, great.
So, tell me, how are you feeling today?
A little hungry.
I mean, deeper than hunger.
Heartburn?
Oh.
Perhaps we should take a different tack. If you were to associate your emotions with a specific hue, what might that color be?
I don't think my emotions have a color.
But if they did, which would it be?
Well, I guess I like gray.
Gray. Very interesting.
It is?
And what animal would you put with your feelings?
Animal. Well, if my feelings are gray, then maybe the animal would be a...
Hippo.
A beluga whale?
So you'd liken your feelings with a cetacean?
Am I in trouble or something?
I hope you know that you can always share your deepest feelings and concerns with me.
Okay. Thanks.
Sounds like Katrina is home.
I'll go help her with anything. Excuse me.
A beluga whale.
A beluga whale? Oh, that could mean so many things.
Really?
Maybe he thinks he overwhelms you. Hmm? Or that he's drowning in his present circumstances. Or that he's just
I saw on TikTok that beluga whales don't die from old age. They're just 2 weeks ago to
the... To a rather bizarre question.
Oh, Eugene, you have no understanding of the subconscious. So much can be revealed through what you term bizarre questions.
I will admit that this was only one of an entire series of awkward conversations I've had with Buck since he moved in with us. Our communication skills continue to struggle.
You really haven't given it enough time, Eugene. Trust me, I'm in a similar boat with Jules.
The Titanic?
But I know
that was
Jules
funny.
Is opening up
I know.
To me.
It's one of my favorite lines.
Something.
It says everything. You need to keep digging into the depths of all that is Buck.
Oh.
Now, after this scene, the episode took a turn I didn't expect. A psychological one. I found it interesting that it took this weird turn, but I enjoyed it. It made me wish I had made a more dedicated episode on psychology, even with this episode. Perhaps another time.
I don't think Buck wants that.
Okay. Okay, so now give your psych... Okay, so now that we've gotten on the track of psychology, so what do you think, especially you, Will, as a psych student?
Wait, I have thoughts too.
Okay, yes. Natalie, you should say your thoughts first.
Okay, my thoughts are that the guy who's trying to be Buck's dad, Eugene. Mm-hmm. I think Eugene is very sweet, and he's trying to connect with this kid, but I think he's overthinking it.
Yeah.
That was a good thought. Excellent work, Natalie.
Yes.
Okay, Will.
And I think Buck is confused.
Nope.
True.
And Buck is not thinking that deep.
Okay, let's consider Buck's situation. Mm-hmm. He just got adopted. He's 16. What if his parents are dead?
They are. Yeah. Oh.
His parents are dead. Mm-hmm. He's in a new place. He's obviously from the South.
Yep.
I feel like Buck is... He is, as Jules would say, a happy do-gooder.
Well, he was a criminal, so, you know.
But now he's a happy do-gooder.
Yeah.
Can we not just appreciate that Buck is doing very well?
Yeah.
And Eugene needs to recognize that Buck is, like, he's killing it in the happy do-gooder world. And also, I agree that Eugene is overthinking this because Buck already has a dad, and he's dead.
True. Well, he doesn't know this yet, but yeah.
Oh. Buck doesn't know it, or Eugene?
I mean, yeah. No, he does. He does.
Eugene, okay,
so,
or Buck?
So let me explain the situation. Okay. So Buck, he grew up with his Uncle Skint.
Oh. Okay.
Right.
You know that uncle's bad.
Okay. He was bad. Okay, so he, Skint, he taught Buck how to, like, be a con person.
Of course.
Pretty much.
Naturally, so that's what you do.
They go around the country, they do scams and stuff.
Of course.
So then he landed in Odyssey.
How else are you supposed to live instead of going around the country and doing scams?
Yeah. Okay. So the two of them, they, and we're on the wrong line, but the two of them, they worked for this guy named Mr. Grote. And,
oh.
Essentially, like, he, like, they ended up working for him. So then Mr. Grote, he's this Chinese dude. He's trying to run a counterfeiting ring in Odyssey, and that was the whole thing. Okay, but
wait,
eventually...
Was that the big episode, like, the episode of the Green Ring or something?
Yeah, it's a 12-part episode, yep.
I listened to that one.
So...
It was very interesting, like a plane crash or something.
Yeah. So at the end of that, Katrina is talking to Buck, and she's like, you gotta do the right thing. Turn yourself in, all that. So that happens, okay? So
it's
two,
like 15.
Or three albums later, I believe. This 14 episode album. It's called The Ties That Bind. And that's when Katrina, they go to the prison, and then Juan's like,
wait, Buck is in prison when he's 15?
Yeah, like juvenile detention.
It was like,
yeah.
He's in prison.
Yeah. So they go there. Then they've been talking with this is like manager of the prison, like for the youth people. His name is Juan. And he tells them, hey, you want to adopt Buck? So then they do. So they've taken him in. And that's what happened. That's what's happening here. So that's like a short history of Buck. And by short, I mean like it took 3 minutes. But I think you that there's that background.
Okay.
So yeah.
Poor Buck, honestly.
Yeah.
He's just trying his best in life. He's trying to be a good person. And Jules is over here telling him that's bad or something. Down with Jules. I dislike her already.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Eugene doesn't truly understand Buck's situation, especially that Buck has already had mentor figures and father figures in the past, and they've all kind of let him down, it sounds like. So Eugene needs to take a different route and kind of let Buck spread his own wings.
Sure. I mean, Eugene kind of relates to the situation, and we'll hear that in the second half of the episode, which I'm about to play. So we'll just go through as much of that as we can. I think we'll go to quarter way, and then have one, then by that point it'll be lunch and we can go.
Okay.
They have like 10 minutes, but we'll go to like 15. Okay. Here we go.
He was talking colors and animals. I know he was trying to figure me out so he could fix me, but I felt like there was a right answer in there that I was supposed to say, but I didn't know what it was.
Welcome to my life.
You felt that way?
Only every minute of every day. My friends in California expect me to act a certain way, talk a certain way, dress a certain way, and half the time I don't know what that way is. And then my dad wants me to be all interested in his business, which I'm not, and my mom wants me to be all into what her latest spa treatment was, which I couldn't care less about.
But it feels like you need to be whoever everyone else expects you to be. Like you have to put on a show.
Yeah.
That's the name of the...
It does.
I get that.
So my friends think I'm stuck up, my dad thinks I'm lazy, and my mom thinks I'm a sullen teenager.
You're probably all of those things, Jules.
Well, for what it's worth, I don't think you're any of those things.
Thanks.
This is healthy, I
guess,
feel like.
We at least understand each other.
Then.
Yeah.
Natalie, your face is saying something.
Remember when you said
she's disgusted.
Makes me uncomfortable.
She's disgusted by teen love.
They're not that in love yet. Okay.
More packages for you, Jules. Some of these companies have the strangest names. O&P, Banana Monarchy, Pop and Pizzazz, Always 16.
They can't charge a lot of money unless they have a cool name.
I suppose not. Here you go.
Thanks. Hey, what's that?
Oh, a postcard from Penny.
Oh, Penny.
Oh,
Penny
Bassett. Having a good time?
I guess. She just says something about a nice knitting lady she met on the plane.
You know, it was fun hanging out the other night. Maybe we could do some more stuff together.
They do the
sometime.
Other night.
Sure.
They just like stayed up and ate cookies, I guess.
I'd really like that.
I am so good at this.
Oh, Connie. Silly you.
I figured out your problem, Eugene. And it's you.
Oh, me?
You're aversion to emotional transparency.
I thought you said I
was aversion to
emotional transparency.
Aversion to emotional
transparency.
Aversion?
Aversion.
Just go along with it for a minute, okay?
I'm going to need counseling from having counseling.
Think about the walls you put up, Eugene. What might make you so unwilling to share your feelings? When can you recall feeling embarrassed or inadequate?
Oh, you mean aside from this conversation?
Oh, stop it. Take a deep breath and think back.
Well, I suppose my most embarrassing moment, though I hate to relive it, was when I failed my driving exam.
I personally have never failed my driving exam.
Crazy. Okay.
That was the whole thing. It was like a two-part
thing.
Isn't it your job to help me feel better?
Sorry, go on.
You require more?
Well, if we're going to get to the root of your problem.
All right. Well, there was the time Katrina thought you and I were dating because you gave me a hug in Mr. Whitaker's office.
Oh, yeah, such a misunderstanding.
I'll say. That was your fault.
Maybe. Unintentionally.
Well, indeed. Just as when I thought Katrina was seeing someone else, and it ended up she was tutoring a young child. Most humiliating.
Yeah, that really was.
And all of those events have one common factor.
Good. The core of your problem. What is it?
You.
Me?
You were behind each one of them.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Is there maybe something else they have in common? Because my text doesn't cover that.
You are the core of my emotional unwell-being.
Okay, let's just skip the section on ridding ourselves of toxic people.
The masonry contractor who has constructed, brick by brick, my emotional walls.
Oops, sorry, time's up. We'll have to delve into that topic during our next session. I'll see you to the door.
That... He was... I'm looking for the right word.
Deflecting?
He was deflecting. That is the right word. Onto Connie. Personally, it's not Connie's fault. You have control over yourself, Eugene. The only...
Real, you're a grown man.
You're a grown
man. What
are
these folks doing here?
You can't blame all your problems on a 20-year-old girl.
Well, he's also like 20, so...
He's what?
He's also like 20.
He does not sound 20.
Oh, Buck. I didn't realize you were out here.
Just thought I'd clean up the garage shelves.
Oh, you don't need to do that.
It's okay. You've been really nice to let me use so much of your stuff. It's the least I can do.
Oh, well, okay. So, how you feeling today?
Fine. Or did you want a color?
Huh? No, fine is fine. It's good.
I can say I'm doing good if that's better.
It would actually be doing well.
Sorry, well.
No, fine. Fine is the correct answer.
I don't think I'm very good at giving you the right answer.
There is no right answer.
But you just said that...
I know, I meant... Buck, I'm just plainly very bad at this.
At what?
At connecting with you. At being safe to open up to, as some would say. And I'm afraid I'm only making it more awkward.
It's okay. I can try to open up if you want me to.
I don't want to make you do anything. It's just, I'm new at all this. New to this father-son type of relationship.
You're not a father.
But you're great at it.
Okay.
You're not a father, Eugene.
Okay.
You know, Buck, I lost my parents at a young age. It's a long story, but I too ended up in foster care.
You did?
And I never really connected with my foster parents. I never really connected with much of anyone until I came to Odyssey. So the whole family bonding construct is probably just as foreign to me as it is to you.
Wow. That's kinda good to know.
We have 5 minutes left, so you can get through your thoughts here quickly.
What are your thoughts?
I think basically that scene was just showing that in order to connect to somebody and, like, open up, like, if you want somebody to open up to you, like, you have to kind of be vulnerable and do it first.
Also, if you want something, just be straightforward about it.
Real.
Yeah. Don't beat around the bush, guys.
Yeah. Just don't do it. Don't waste your time.
Just say what you want
folks.
And you'll get what you want, guys. It's not hard.
True. All right, so the episode picks up here again. We're in the final act, and I'm going to play it now.
Huh? What? Oh, hello, this is Connie.
Hi, Connie. This is Detective Polhouse, Odyssey Police.
Oh.
Sorry to wake you, but something's come up.
What's wrong?
It concerns your sister.
Jules?
Yes. One of my men brought her in about a half hour ago. She's been shooting fireworks off from the top of the water tower.
Oh, that can't be. Jules would never do that.
Well, maybe not by herself, but she was with someone else.
Who?
Buck.
Thanks for coming in, Connie. Nice slippers, by the way.
Thanks. And I see Mr. Meltzner is already here.
Ms. Kendall?
Yes. Why don't you both come back with me? Jules and Buck are in my office.
You need to keep a better eye on that hooligan of yours, Eugene.
Hooligan? I suggest we ascertain the details before we start assigning derogatory names, Miss Kendall.
Well, I already know all I need to. Your former criminal foster son is trying to take my sister...
Hey, Connie is being really judgmental right now. Pack it up, Connie. Pack it up in a suitcase and go home.
Perhaps you should both start acting more mature than the two kids on the other side of this door before we go in.
Buck,
Jules,
you need
are you
to
okay?
Explain.
What happened, Connie?
Hi, Mr. Eugene.
It's late. I'm sure you'd all like to get back to bed. So let's get through this as quickly as possible. Are the two of you aware that it's illegal for kids your age to be out past 11 p.m., and that fireworks are banned within city limits, and that I could charge you with disturbing the peace and trespassing on city property, and reckless endangerment?
We were just having a little fun.
I'm not having fun. Are you two having fun?
No. Negatory.
No fun here.
Listen, this isn't Jules' fault.
Huh?
It's mine.
Hmm.
I convinced her to go up and set the fireworks off.
Mm-hmm.
It's something crazy I did once with some friends.
I thought as much. See you, Eugene?
Buck, I'm flabbergasted and disappointed.
I'm really sorry.
What you did was both illegal and dangerous. Your parole officer will need to be notified, Buck. But as no real harm was done, we'll leave it at that. This time... I'm going to release you to your guardians, and I don't want to see either of you here ever again.
Joel?
Oh, hi, Connie.
You're up early.
You ordered the fireworks.
What?
I looked up Pop and Pizzazz online. It's a fireworks company. You planned on doing this. You lied to me.
Natalie has to sing her Revelation song.
Which one?
Revelations, Revelations, 21-8.
But I convinced him.
Then why did he tell the police that...
I didn't know he was going to do that. But if someone wants to get you off the hook, you let them.
And I've been doing the same thing. calling teachers for extensions, letting you get by with things. You've been using me.
I just wanted to have a little fun, Connie.
And now you have. I hope you're happy.
So we finished right about there. We paused for lunch and came back to listen to the rest. But since it's mostly unusable audio, I'll just say they enjoyed it. Natalie has beef with Connie for some reason, but everyone said they would listen again. You know, I started this as a way to introduce Odyssey to people in a more public setting, but I like the themes that arose. Stressors are all around us. Sometimes they're in small things, like losing your phone charger. Other times, they're taking on one of the hugest responsibilities of the human species, raising a child. I think this episode has taught me the valuable lesson that sometimes you can't always just fix things like that. Situations in life take time to resolve, and it's more important to remember. The best option is always to take things one step at a time, knowing that it'll usually work out in the end. Before I play one of the last scenes that makes this point, here are the last things Brian and Alex said.
Yeah. I really like where this story is going, but the story is getting pretty good. Mm-hmm. I low-key want to finish the rest of this. I think I encourage people to listen to this as well.
Nice, yeah.
Yes, sir.
So you listen to this or other audio dramas in the future, you'd say?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, alrighty. Nice.
Most definitely.
Okay, yeah. So that you just got introduced to Odyssey, so... Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks, Josh.
Yep.
Yep, thank you.
You're welcome. Yourself in like a week and a week and 2 days.
I'm sorry, Eugene. Jules was the one behind it all.
Buck explained as much to me after we left the station. His ethical compass still seems to be rather skewed at times, but he did feel the need to come clean.
Some counselor I am. I thought I had Jules figured out. I even thought I had you and Buck figured out.
Well, you might know more than you give yourself credit for.
Yeah, right.
Our discussions actually ended up being quite helpful. Because of them, I made the decision to share some of my own history as a foster child with Buck. In doing so, as you would say, broke down some walls in our communication impasse.
It did?
Buck told me it helped him feel more comfortable around me. We had a really good talk when we were driving home from the police station, the most open and honest conversation we've had to date.
Really?
Really.
Well, at least one of us knows how to raise a teenager.
A wise woman once told me, relationships are a series of steps, and you can only take the step that is in front of you.
Yeah. Now if I could just stop tripping over everyone.
I do want to say I love this experience, and it's something I'll certainly do again in another capacity. Maybe a reaction by 20 Adventures in Odyssey fans. I'm just kidding. We're not quite there yet. But things like this are exactly what I had in mind when I said exposing Odyssey to non-Odyssey fans. I genuinely believe this is the goal of, quote, What's Odyssey? It's to answer that question in a meaningful way. Well, the clock is ticking for the What's Odyssey podcast. Join us next week in our penultimate episode, which will be a lot of fun. Hint, hint. But for now, the What's Odyssey podcast is produced by AIO Writer's Block and made possible through Spotify for Podcasters. The What's Odyssey pizzicato theme was written and composed by Joshua Mensah Wood, with music by Joshua Mensah Wood. Adventures in Odyssey audio clips, and all other copyrighted materials used in this production are the property of Adventures in Odyssey and Focus on the Family. In this production, all AIO clips are used under fair use. And once again, I'm your host, Joshua Mensah Wood, reminding you to keep up the fandom.